How's it? Welcome to the weekend. My name's Graham Robenheimer. This is News 24's Unread. Let's cut through the cuck. Now, you could argue that the main story of this year's municipal elections starts and may very well end with the former city of gold, Johannesburg. It's astonishing that since 2019, when then DA Mayor Herman Mashaba decided to throw in the towel, citing remember his differences with Helen Zille at the time, that since then Johannesburg has seen seven different people, from including the likes of the ANC, DA and Al Jamar, try to take a stab at things, and with the mayoral chain changing hands at least nine different times. Three of those mayors died, including the ANC's Mpho Morane, who I met out numerous times in the field, and I thought he was a genuinely nice guy with his interactions with the media, and he seemed to have a good handle on service delivery issues on the ground. Coalition politics in South Africa, with its usual musical chairs, is indeed messy, and Johannesburg, with its massive budget, deserves long-term stability. Given what we know now, it is quite clear that the city's attempts at good financial governance has drastically decayed, kind of like those beautiful inner-city buildings. Here's how bad things have gotten. Current Mayor Dada Merede delivered this week's State of Johannesburg from a church in Joubert Park, painting this PR picture that his ANC-led administration has given Josie a solid foundation to build on. The mayor is proud that between 80 and 100% of all residents enjoy services including refuse removal, electricity and housing opportunities. At least the mayor has been frank, though, that the city is behind in its infrastructure spend. That's fixing potholes, fixing up buildings, maintenance and repair, and that's to the tune of a whopping 220 billion rand. The mayor also acknowledged quite a big elephant in the room, and that is that Eskom is now threatening to cut power to the entire metro because the city owes it in the region of 6.7 billion rand. Now, to put that figure into perspective for you, government estimates that to build a RDP home these days, it costs about a quarter of a million rand. So with 6.7 billion rand, you could build 25,000 RDP homes. The Eskom bill speaks to a much larger issue here. Joburg's bankrupt. Last month, our finance minister wrote to the mayor, warning of this reality, with this exchange exposing that Joburg's debt stands at 25 billion rand. Worst of all, the finance minister's red flagged the city's current operating budget, basically calling it, quote-unquote, unfunded. Ultimately, what this means is that any revenue that's coming in is not enough to cover its loan repayments and its massive ballooning debt. In other words, this is an ANC minister telling an ANC mayor, you're breaking the law, which is almost unheard of. The minister has also threatened to withdraw an upcoming treasury payment if the metro hikes municipal staff salaries, which is a long-standing sore point for Union SAMU. Still, Mayor Marrero remains defiant here. He thinks the city's not bankrupt because they're paying salaries on time and the electricity still works. And in his speech this week, he went as far as saying that the city's finances are stable, which civil society groups like the Organization Undoing Tax Abuse says is hogwash. Johannesburg City Power has in recent years racked up a monumental near 5 billion rand in irregular and wasteful spending. City Power contractors this month refused to work due to what appeared to be the non-payment for services. Even more shocking, City Power has conceded to the City of Johannesburg that it does not know what Eskom charges it for electricity to sell back to you, the ratepayer. What this boils down to is this: City Power has not been double-checking the meters in your home. In other words, it's not been reselling all of the power that it buys in bulk from Eskom. Meanwhile, civil society groups like WaterCan are stressing that Joburg should be plugging a lot more water into utilities like Johannesburg Water. That utility couldn't even send out water tankers this month because it's run out of money to pay its suppliers. It's probably the worst possible timing because from next week, another utility, Rand Water, will carry out crucial water pump maintenance for the following nearly 3 weeks, and this will affect your supply. Now, News 24's investigations editor, Peter de Toy, argues that Joburg's ultimate demise, as we talk about it, is down to five key reasons here. Poor political accountability, a disregard for the rule of law, ANC cadre deployment, organized crime infiltration, and voters' decision to reward mediocrity. This week marked Mayor Marrero's final speech as Johannesburg mayor. In the meantime, the ANC's done something it's never done before. It's actually asking for non-members of the party to nominate themselves to possibly run as his replacement. But by the time you're watching this, unfortunately, that nomination window has since closed. I would like to argue that you can judge the state of Johannesburg as it currently is based on how that city treats everybody who resides there. Our final elephant in the room are actual three elephants at Joburg Zoo. They're Lami, Mopane, and Ramadiba. Several animal activists argue they're not being kept in enclosures large enough to meet their needs. A long-standing high court case is now in the offing. It's trying to force the zoo to release the elephants into a wildlife sanctuary's care. However, the zoo and the city of Joburg legally object here. They insist that the way they treat the elephants is just as good as the way they treat locals. Whilst the city of Johannesburg finds itself on life support these days, another beloved South African is currently recovering in hospital after unforeseen surgery. Media personality and philanthropist Rachel Khaleesi took to Instagram, sharing with her more than 600,000 followers pictures of her surrounded by friends and family. Since her split with Springbok captain Sia Khaleesi, Rachel's thrown herself into the world of fitness and philanthropy. She's also written a new book, Falling Forward. Rachel hasn't shared a lot more about why she's currently in hospital at the moment. As soon as we get those details, we'll share them with you. Joburg being in a state wasn't the only news story this week. The woman accused of decapitating her elderly sister in her Balville South home has been giving Cape Town court and prison authorities a massive headache. 63-year-old Aletta Rose is alleged to have murdered and beheaded her 79-year-old sibling, Constance Skoltz, after suspicious neighbours alerted Skoltz's son to check on his mom. The eventual discovery of blood and body parts inside the home is said to have caused even the police a lot of discomfort. Initially, Rose refused bail, but has since changed her tune and is now looking to apply. That's not all. She's assaulted a guard transporting her from Portsmouth Prison to court. She snapped at the media for taking pictures of her in the dock and then demanded an Afrikaans-speaking legal aid attorney. In fact, in her last appearance this week, Rose was even racist towards the prosecutor. She refuses to get checked for her mental capacity. If Rose is found guilty here, she'll be a serial killer, because in 1997 she was convicted for the murder of her brother-in-law. And with Rose's last court outburst, she could be charged with contempt of court. We'll keep you updated. Meanwhile, in the Northern Cape, the provincial high court sitting in Springbok heard dramatic testimony in the criminal trial of a Fieldsdrift farmer accused of shooting and killing two men. It's alleged that one October night in 2023, Yapi Klaasens opened fire on his apparent friends, 54-year-old Kuni de Beer, an Eisner lawyer, and 56-year-old James Creel, a fellow Overberg farmer. Both men died in an Upington hospital from their wounds the following day. According to testimony by de Beer's son, Koenraad, who was with his father on that fateful night, they stayed at the accused's home. Koenraad went to sleep in a tent outside, only to be woken hours later by Creel screams, reportedly shouting, "Help, help, Yapi is crazy." Klaasens has already pleaded not guilty to murder, but he has pleaded guilty to the illegal possession of ammunition. We'll keep you updated as this trial develops. Standard Bank's IT issues continue to cause alarm weeks after a hacker managed to breach its systems, getting his hands on crucial client data here. This includes ID numbers, credit card details, all the things you don't want public eyes to see. Standard Bank can't catch a break here. Just as it's launched its new banking platform, a fresh flaw has emerged. A Standard Bank client's relayed to us how once they migrated over their business account to this new app, they suddenly got full access to a trustee account that they shouldn't have any authority over. The client immediately contacted the bank. The change was made, with Standard Bank insisting this was a limited instance. While Standard Bank's still trying to put out this fire, it's still reeling from that hack, and it's not checking with credit bureaus for any patterns of fraudulent behavior with their clients' details. From cyber hacks to sci-fi action romps, there's a new Star Wars film out. In fact, it's the first in 7 years, Mandalorian and Grogu. I was fortunate enough to catch an early sneak peek, and my spoiler-free review is this: 6.5 out of 10. If you don't agree with me, let me know in the comments. It looks like we're all caught up in the news. This has been News 24's Unread. My name's Graham Robenheimer. I'll see you next time.